All right. Well, I'm excited to be here with you guys. If you got your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2. I think you guys all know where that is. Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 40 through 47 today. You guys look so beautiful this morning. You all look like you still have like the boogers in the eyes. Did you guys get that out before you took a shower? I hope so. That's kind of gross. You guys excited to study the Bible today? All right. Hey, before we do so, I'm going to have my beautiful wife, who's 4 months pregnant, Shayna. Guys, give her a big hand. She's going to pray for our Bible study.
Father, we just thank you for Velocity, and we thank you for all these students and their faithfulness to you, Lord. And we thank you for your faithfulness to us above all, Jesus, and for your word that you've spoken, Lord, and that we can come here and hear from you. So we pray that you bless this Bible study. Just anoint the words that and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Gosh, you're beautiful. All right, guys, Acts chapter 2. Today we're going to learn about what the church should be all about. We're going to look at the first church that the Bible ever records for us in Acts chapter 2. It's the first church. And when I was in middle school and high school, I loved model cars. Do you guys know what I'm talking about, guys? Model cars, you go to the store, you buy them, and you get all these like little plastic pieces, and you get to glue them together. And I used to love doing those things. Here's why. I had no idea how to ever do anything with a car when I was a kid. Like change the oil, that would like scare me half to death. If it was to turn on the car, I had to learn how to turn on a car. Some of you guys are thinking, wow, you're a pretty stupid guy. Well, I kind of was. I didn't know anything about cars, but here was the cool thing. If I bought a model car, it had a picture on it. So I was like, okay, all of these pieces are going to somehow look like that picture. But even more than just having a picture, it had directions. Directions are amazing. And so I could follow the steps, you know, put this little gray piece to that little white piece and glue them together. And as I would follow the instructions looking at the picture, pretty soon, what? I'd have a car. I built myself a car. I'd go, you know, put it on top of my mom and dad's dresser. And I'd kind of think I was really cool because I built a car. Even though it was a piece of plastic and a piece of garbage, but I had built it. Well, the cool thing is in the Bible, did you know God's the same way? He teaches us how to build the church. He doesn't expect us just to know how to do church or how to play church. This isn't like Barbies when you were a kid, like let's go play house. No, no, no. God teaches us how to actually do church. And it's really cool. It's very clear. And today we're going to see three things that God tells us how we're to run church. Now, what I love about the Bible is very clear. There's no hidden secrets in the Bible. Unlike this message that I got yesterday. I go into my desk, my office right next to Kevin Miller's, okay? And this is what I find on my desk. It's this message. But it's coded. I had to figure it out. Have you guys ever played Apples to Apples? Anyone? Okay, you get these like crazy cards that say things like chickens and going to grandma's and stuff, okay? So I had this message that made no sense that I had to fill in blanks. And I had to fill them in with these cards. And this is what, and I had no idea. I saw this message that said, we regret that we have your blank. We saw you steal them while you were blank. I was like, what does this mean? So I had to go find one of my leaders and I was like, dude, you have to figure out what in the world this thing says. Because it's a message to Nicholas Crespo. But I couldn't understand it. Well, let me just read to you what it said. And whenever it's fill in the blank, I'll say that word louder. We regret that you have our chickens. We saw you steal them while you were going to grandma's. We want them back. Before you try to call the FBI, you must know we are ninjas. And we live in Paris, and it's the Cinco de Mayo, and we have a dozen red roses? What are you talking about? We are trained in the NRA, and we are well supplied with machine guns and car bombs. If you refuse to comply, the mafia from the land of Oz will turn you into roadkill. Thanks for your cooperation. What is that? What does that mean? It makes no sense to me. But listen, the Bible's not like that. God doesn't say, hey, you want to learn how to play church? Well, here's a coded message that you've got to figure out. No, no, no. God just tells us. And so today we're going to see the three key things that God wants us to know about how we're supposed to do church. And read with me here in verse 40, Acts chapter 2. Here's the beginning of the first church. And with many words, Peter, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his words were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them. This is the first church. 3,000 people big. Imagine, we're probably like maybe 150 in here today. This seems big. But the first church was over 3,000 people. That's the very first church in the book of Acts. Now notice what they did. The first thing that these group of Christians did is they worshiped God. They had the vertical relationship with God. That's what church is all about. It's about your vertical relationship with God. Read in verse 42 with me. It says, the church, they continued steadfastly in the what? Apostles' doctrine. Now you say, Nick, what in the world does that mean? Apostles' doctrine? We do that here? We do actually study the apostles' doctrine. All the apostles' doctrine means is the Bible. And we study the Bible. Maybe you wonder, why do we come to Velocity and always open our Bibles and have Bible studies for 40 minutes and Kevin just talks and he talks? Well, because we believe studying the Bible is the most important thing we can do. That's what the first church did. They're like, hey, we're the church. What are we going to do? Hey, let's go study our Bibles. And that's what the early church did. That's what we're supposed to be about. See, when we study our Bibles, the Bible tells us it's worshiping God. That's part of our worship to God. Now, there's a couple reasons why we need to study the Bible. Maybe in your notes you want to write these couple reasons down. The early church, they worshiped God, they studied the Bible. But here's the first reason why. It's your guide. The Bible is a guide to us. See, there's a lot of things in the world that people believe that aren't truth, but they'll try to make you believe it's true. Here's a key example. I never buy People magazine. And maybe some of the gals in here do, and some of you guys, I don't know why you would, but maybe you buy People magazine. But I bought a copy of People magazine, and here's why. Have you guys ever heard of Lance Bass from NSYNC? Guys, I hope guys are saying, I have no idea who that is, but the girls are going, yeah, I love him, he's so cute, right? Okay, well, Lance, just not long ago, came out and he said, I'm a Christian. Guy from NSYNC said, I'm a Christian, okay? But just recently, in this magazine, he came out saying, I'm gay. He's Christian and he's gay. So that was a little confusing to me. But here's why I bought it. Because a person that buys this magazine wrote People magazine and said this. I want to thank Lance for his honesty. My 7-year-old daughter saw the cover and asked why anyone would admit to being gay. And I explained that being gay is not wrong. God made everyone different for a reason. So see, here's the deal. This mom is telling her daughter, 7 years old, that God made him gay. Wait a minute. Is that what the Bible teaches me? No. See, there's a lot of things in the world that people try to tell you is truth. And see, we have the Bible to say, hey, that's not truth. And so the Bible's a guide for us. The Bible is also that which helps us grow. Did you guys know that? When you study your Bible, it helps you grow up as a Christian. It's like Popeye and his spinach, you know, boom, guzzles down some, gets all huge and massive and can do anything. Well, in the same sense, you guys as Christians, when we feast on the Bible and God's Word, we begin to grow and get stronger. Now you say, Nick, dude, I read my Bible all the time and I don't get anything out of it. Well, see, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that God's Word will never, ever return void. And all that means is if you are partaking of the Bible, studying your Bible, reading your Bible, it's working in your life whether you realize it or not. Did you know? Listen, this is a crazy thing. If you drank one extra can of Coke a day in 1 year, you'd weigh 15 more pounds. So this is your goal for the next year. Drink one extra can of soda. See what happens. You might feel great. You might feel fine. You might feel a little crazier maybe. But every day as you drink that soda, a year later, you're going to be like, what happened? And you look bigger and you have 15 more pounds in this area. Well, see, because you're putting in junk, and that junk was affecting you. Well, with the Bible, it's the same thing. You put in God's Word, you begin to grow, whether you even know it or not. And so maybe you have a hard time reading your Bible. You're like, I don't feel like Jehoshaphat. What does that mean? Who is that guy? Well, see, God's daily building you and making you stronger. Okay, God's Word, not only does it guide us and grow us, but it's a garbage disposal. It helps get rid of the garbage. Did you know today, I read a statistic, that 13% of you guys' age, 10 through 17, 13% of you guys get unwanted sexual ads in your email. That's what statistics tell us. Not only that, but I read recently that 75% of all the TV shows on TV, they have sex in them. 75%. So all day as we're watching TV, we're checking our email, we're getting garbage, garbage, garbage. And then God's word, it's a disposal. It gets rid of the garbage. It says, get out of here. You're a Christian. It gets all that stuff out of your mind. Maybe you struggle with sin. God's word, it'll fight and destroy sin in your life. You guys have a garbage disposal at home? You guys know what a garbage disposal is, right? It's so cool because when your mom asks you to do the dishes, you don't have to go scrape all the food in the garbage can. You can just like look over your shoulder and scrape it all into the garbage disposal. And then turn that puppy on and everything just grinds up. And then it just disappears. And that's what God's word wants to do in our lives. Lastly, God's word, it's a guard. The Bible will guard us. David said in Psalm 119, your word, God, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's word will guard you from sin. So, we know that the first thing the church did was they had a vertical relationship with God. And how did they do that? They studied their Bible. Keep reading now. Verse 42. They steadfastly were in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So in this vertical relationship with God, not only did they study their Bibles, they prayed. They were always praying to God. They're always speaking to God. Now, this is not prayer. Maybe you think prayer is like this. Oh, Father God, we thank you, Jesus. You're so good. And you got to like act like this weird person. Oh, Holy Father of Light. No, that's so weird, man. That's not what prayer is all about. Prayer is this, simply this. Imagine if I talked to my wife like that. Oh, beautiful one. You're so beautiful. And I'm so happy you're going to be my mother of children. You'd say, dude, you've got some serious issues. And your wife, that she lets you talk to her like that. There's something wrong with your marriage. You're right. Well, it's the same thing with God. Prayer is not this weird thing. It's just talking to God. You just start talking to God. You tell him, God, I ate a hot dog today. It was really good. But then at school, I had a really hard time. I wish I could be a better witness. God, I pray you'd help me with this. And you just talk to him like you would a normal person. That's prayer. God says he hears our prayer. So they prayed. They read their Bibles. They had communion. In verse 42, it says that they were breaking bread. And I know you guys do communion at least once a month in Velocity, right? It's the coolest thing. We did it last night in vertical. It's my favorite time in vertical when we actually break the bread. And it's not because we're just really hungry at service. We don't do communion. Oh, it's time to eat. Yeah, I'm so hungry. Maybe you guys come to communion. You're like, dude, hurry up. I want to eat the bread. I'm hungry. No, no, that's not what communion is all about. Communion, Luke tells us, Jesus said, it's about remembering what Jesus did for us, right? You guys know that about communion, right? We're remembering Jesus' blood and his body that was broken and shed for us. So they had communion, they prayed, they studied their Bibles. But now I want you to keep reading here in verse 43. Let's see what else these guys did. It says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and they divided them among all as anyone had need. And continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. They were reading, they were praying. They were taking time to have communion. It even says in there too, you might want to jot it down in verse 46, that they went to the temple. They went to church. The first church, what did they do? The first group of Christians, they went to church every day. They went to their temple. And then in verse 47, you might want to write it down, it says they praised God. So the early church, the very first church that we ever read, the model, the picture, what Velocity should be all about is the vertical relationship with God. Worshiping him, studying the Bible, praying together. Now, let's see what else they did. Not only was it the vertical, but they had the horizontal relationships with each other. They loved each other. It's not like maybe some of you guys today, if we took an honest poll, you don't like your brother or sister. If you were really honest, you have a hard time with them. And maybe that carries over. I see two of you guys back there smiling, looking at each other. Yeah. But in the church, maybe we're even the same way. Maybe the person sitting next to you now, you're thinking, I don't really like this guy. It's kind of smelly. And I'd probably say, he might be. He's a guy. Guys, smell. Get used to that, ladies. Okay, they just smell. And maybe you're saying, I don't like this person or that person. But we just read that in verse 45, read this again with me. They sold their possessions and goods and gave them to each other as anyone had need. They loved each other. They shared with each other. In fact, they went and sold all that they had to give it away. When was the last time you sold something and gave it to somebody in Velocity? Or you said, you know what, I've got two iPods. Here, bro, take one of mine. You know what, I've got like eight Xbox controllers, and I really only need four, and you gave them to one of your buddy. Or you had something that you had a lot of, and you just gave it away. Well, that's what the early church did. That's what we should be doing in church. We should be giving stuff away. Hey, how can I help you? Hey, can I take you out to Dion's and buy you a piece of pizza? Hey, can I bless you? How can I give away to you? We love each other. We spend time together. And we just give, give, give. We love to give to each other. That's called fellowship. Verse 42, you might want to underline that word. It's there. It says they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. They loved and loved to share. Now, this is what I've discovered about youth, about myself, Velocity, middle school, Vertical, high school, is that when we come to church, sometimes we think stuff like, that kid's a geek. That girl's so nerdy. I don't want to have anything to do with him. Did you see how his mullet was styled today? What a weirdo. Some of you guys are laughing because you're like, yeah, we do that. Did you see how baggy his pants were? Did you see how this her shirt was? It was pink. What a weirdo. And we come to church and we don't like each other. And have you ever been in an elevator? You walk into an elevator and all of a sudden you don't talk. It's just like there's other people in the elevator. It's like everyone freezes. Nobody talks. It's very weird. It's very awkward. You walk out of the elevator. Hey, so how you doing? Good. Yeah, absolutely. You walk in the elevator and you just kind of do this. What floor? Three. And you're just like really weird. Well, sometimes we come to church and we're like that. We get around each other. We get around other Christians and we're all weird. It's like, who are you? What happened to the person before you walked in the elevator doors of Velocity? You became a different person. And we don't love. We're not loving each other. We're not sharing, giving away. And that's what the church should be about. Now, you might say, I don't like Christians. You say, I'm a Christian. I love God. I just don't like going to Velocity. The people there, I just don't like it. I don't, it's just boring. Whatever. And you know what you're really saying? Listen, this is crazy. You know what God says to the church? He says, you, I, the church, we're the beautiful bride of Christ. Jesus looks at us and says, we're beautiful. Like I look at my wife, my bride, and I think she's beautiful and gorgeous. God looks at all of us. And so when you say, I don't like going to church, you're saying, God, I don't like your bride. Ooh. Oh, I'm sorry, God. If you told me you didn't like my wife, you thought she was ugly, what? You better be running far away. I don't care. You'd be, Nick, but you're a youth pastor. You can't hurt me. I don't care. You don't talk about my wife. Come on now. But why do we do that with God? We say, God, I don't like Velocity. I don't like that church. And God says, but that's my bride. I love them. I died for them. I gave my life for them. Who are you to say you don't like them? I love them. And so we should come and we should learn to love each other. Now, I don't know if you guys have noticed this. Anybody know what this is right here? Okay, it's Mr. Potato Head, obviously, right? You guys probably have 18 of them at home. You sleep with a Mr. Potato Head, I'm sure most of you. Now, there's something a little weird right now about this dude. What is it? He's naked. Mr. Potato Head, how dare you, right? Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and cover his shame here for a minute. But here's Johnny. Johnny's one of our leaders in Vertical and his wife, Tori. And they're just going to throw out some items here. Go ahead, John. You just toss these guys off. You guys want an item, you raise your hand. Okay. We done? Okay, you guys that got a piece of Mr. Potato Head, you guys stand up. And I want you guys to come up over here, and you guys are going to dress Mr. Potato Head. You guys come right now. Let's see how fast they can do it. Okay, don't beat Mr. Potato Head, please. Be nice to Mr. Okay. Oh, boy. We don't know where the feet go. They go on the bottom. Ears don't go on the top of the head. Come on. Oh, teeth don't go on the ears. Come on, guys. You can do it. Okay, the tongue doesn't go in the ear place either. It is upside down. They built Mr. Potato Head upside down, guys. We better pray for these guys. Oh, now they're dropping pieces. You do. Those are very nice glasses. Why don't you show these people what your glasses look like? Nice. Almost there. He's now being dressed. I think he needs feet. Okay, who's keeping the arm? Oh, there it is. Now the arm has a piece of paper taped to it. He's going to ask for one of the girls' phone numbers later. All right, there it is. What do you guys think? Give him a big hand. There he is, Mr. Potato Head. Okay, so now this is what the Bible teaches us. Fellowship, the church, you are all a piece of that body. Some of you guys are the arm. Some of you guys are the tongue. Right? And this is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're all part of God's body, the church. And so now imagine if you were like, no, I don't want to be the arm. You look really weird, Mr. Potato Head. It doesn't look right. That just doesn't look normal. If one person decides, I'm the arm, but I'm just going to decide I'm really cool just being the arm. You'd say, no, you're not. You need to be part of the body. Well, see, this is what God teaches us about his word. The first church, they loved each other. They were the body of Christ. They gave to each other. They used their gifts and their talents. All of their body parts came together to form the body of Christ. Okay, lastly, let's look at the last thing that the early church did. Not only vertical, the relationship with God. They studied the Bible. They prayed. They had communion. They went to the church. They praised God. And then they loved each other. But then lastly, listen to verse 47. Read it with me here. They were praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So not only is it the vertical and the horizontal relationships, but it's the global relationships. It's our relationships with the world. It's telling people and testifying to people about who Jesus Christ is. Acts tells us, as the church, they just worship God. They were always going to church, praising like you guys do, worshiping God. As they loved each other, what was happening? People were getting saved. People were coming to church more. And as they just acted like the church, God began to build the church. Okay, how do we build the church? Let's have a really big concert. And then people will get to know Jesus. No, that's not how we build the church. Well, what if we gave away free pickles in Velocity? You'd probably get a lot of people in service, but it doesn't mean you're building the church. What if you gave away free $100 bills? Whoa. Right? A lot of people would come, but you're not building God's church. How do people get saved and become part of the church? You just act like the church. The Bible says, Jesus said, by this shall men know that you are my disciples. That you have what for one another? Love. That you love each other. And as we love God and love each other, God's going to keep building and building the church. Now, this is what the Bible says about Christians. I don't know if you know this. You stink. Did Nick just say we stink? Yes. Here's why. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 5, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. That there's something about Christians that gives forth a smell that they can smell, and it smells good. It's like when your mom cooks brownies. The favorite part, right, is the smell of them. Now imagine if it was just smell and you picked up a brownie and it tastes like dirt. Nasty, no, but why does anything smell good? Because it tastes good. Why does the church, when we get together and we love each other, we love God, that there's like this sense, this aroma that goes forth that people around us go, you guys smell good. Man, there's something about you guys. There's something about you guys that makes me want to come and partake of what you guys partake of. Did you know as we love God and we love each other, that the world around you, at your school and your family, that they're going to look on and go, man, you smell great. You look good. You're salt. You're light. You're a beautiful aroma. And I want to be part of that. I want to know God too. I want to love like you love. I want to be part of that beautiful family that you have at Velocity. Have you ever heard of the world's biggest flower? It's called the Taruna elma, if I remember correctly. Now, this flower grows up to 15 feet tall. That's a big flower. That's like as tall as this ceiling, okay?
Taller
maybe. It's a 15-foot flower, and when it opens up its petals, it's another 15 to 20 feet wide. That's a stinking big flower. Now, here's the thing about the flower that I think makes it so cool. You ready for this? It stinks. It's called the corpus flower because if you get around it, it smells like a dead body. It smells bad. But not that we smell bad, but the church, when we're together like that, it emits a smell that people come and watch. They just had one of these flowers in New York City and in Germany. And they said in just one weekend, over 2,000 people came to smell the flower. See, there was something unique about it. Not only was it really big, but I got to smell that thing. Well, see, the church, people will be drawn to the church, drawn to Velocity, drawn to coming to know God. When you act like a Christian, you love God, you love each other, the world around you is going to smell that aroma, that beautiful praise that you offer to God. The Bible says that our praise, our worship is like an aroma. It's an incense that goes up to God. And when we love each other, when we act like the church, people all around are going to hear about it. So what's the three things the church should be about? Never forget this. Vertical, your relationship with God. That's why our ministry, our high school ministry, is called Vertical, because we're there to worship God. So it's vertical, it's horizontal, it's our relationships with each other, and it's global, to see the world come to know Jesus Christ. That's what we should be about, right there, those three simple things. So here is my closing statement. I dare you to go be a Christian. In fact, I triple dog dare you. Yeah. Did you guys ever see The Christmas Story? I love that movie. When it comes to the triple dog dare and he's got to stick his tongue on the pole and he gets stuck, right? It's amazing. That's a great movie. Now, the same is true. Being a Christian, it's radical. It's something that takes a crazy person to love God, to live for God, to love people. It takes a crazy, crazy person. It takes a person that says, I'm going to be radical, man. I don't even care. And I have to, sometimes, as a teacher, as a pastor, I have to dare you guys to go do it. Isn't there something fun about dare? Like, do you guys ever play that? What's that game called? Truth or Dare, right? It's like a fun game. Why? Because you're made to do crazy things. Now, this is the bummer. When you get older, you don't get to play Truth or Dare anymore. I can't go, honey, I triple dog dare you to go do the dishes. Doesn't work. Trust me. I've tried it. Or I triple dog dare you to make the bed, sweetie. It just doesn't work. It's kind of lame, right? But see, as a young person, it's still fun. Because this is why I believe. I think, you know who could change the world? Not the old fogies, right? Not old, maybe. But maybe it's you, the young people. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember the Lord in the days of your youth. Because in the days of your youth, you're excited. Your bones are all still working great. Isn't that cool? Everything works great. You can still think straight. You can go running all day and play. You're energetic. And so I think God desires that you and I, young people, vertical, Velocity, young people, your age, be part of being a Christian and changing the world. It's like the dare that the Bible offers to young people. Be radical. Be part of changing the world. I loved MacGyver growing up. Because MacGyver could take, like, Mr. Potato Head and, like, conquer the world with it. He could do anything. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of MacGyver. I might be dating myself here. But he was this dude that with very little could do a lot. And you might look at your life and say, Nick, I have no talent. Nick, I don't have a lot of gifts. Nick, I don't play guitar. Nick, I can't get up there and speak. And I say, forget about all of that. You know what you do have? You have Jesus Christ. And that is all you need. And you take Christ and the powering of His Spirit and you go out and I dare you to be a Christian. By the way, the name of that flower was the Titan Arum. That's the real name of that really stinky flower. Let's pray, okay? God, thank you so much for today. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us a perfect picture, just like those model cars that we build. You gave us a perfect picture with instructions on how to do church. So God, I pray that you would challenge the Velocity students today to go out and make a radical change in their schools and their families and their surrounding areas, Lord, wherever they find themselves. Bless these, Lord. I love Velocity. I love these students. May they grow in their walks with you, God. And we pray you bless Kevin and Jen as they're on their vacation. May they have a good time and bless their baby. We ask in your name, amen. Amen. You guys are